How do you do? Strange how many people compulsively buy lottery tickets, hoping to hit the jackpot, even though the odds are overwhelmingly against them. The enticement to gamble, like most addictions, is cloaked in deception. The man in this story was deceived into hoping he'd win big, but that didn't happen until his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Drug overdose?
No indication. He collapsed at one of the casinos.
Temperature?
103.
Irregular heartbeat, labored breathing.
His BP was so low, the paramedics put pressure pants on him.
Any ID?
Yes, he's an Israeli.
Shining the light of the world into the darkness, this is Unshackled, True Life Stories, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Nobody cares. That's the feeling that people have when they lose their jobs and their homes. But folks at Pacific Garden Mission care so much that they keep the doors open day and night, offering refuge to the homeless ones, a safe place to sleep, fresh clothing, nourishing meals. And friends around the country care enough to send financial gifts. So the mission even provides medical and dental care in the mission clinic to resident guests. Pastors and counselors at the old lighthouse share the good news that nobody cares as much as the one who provides the way out of their predicament. Turning to him is the turning point in millions of lives. And that's what this program celebrates, going out to the world in 13 languages. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 3196 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Ezzy?
Yes?
The nurse tells me you regained consciousness a little while ago.
Doctor, where am I?
In a hospital in Atlantic City. We found no healthcare identification in your wallet, so this is our welfare ward.
Thank you. There is no way I can pay. I have a bad heart. Did I have another heart attack?
No. Your problems are pneumonia and internal bleeding. We're doing what we can.
Thank you, doctor. I failed again.
The man in our story was no ordinary person thrust upon the healthcare system. His was an extraordinary career, then a disastrous fall. This is the true story of a man called Hezzy from the classic files of Unshackled.
Hezzy was born in Jerusalem, a Sabra like his father before him. And like their fathers before them, their birth certificates were stamped Levite, the tribe of Levi, who were the ancient Hebrew priests of God. Hezzy was 15 and a half when he enlisted in the British Army, service that qualified him to be an officer in the Israeli Army, fighting for independence in 1948. Promotions came fast, and he was soon a colonel, commanding a battalion in the 101st Commandos, one of Israel's most elite fighting forces. By then, he was married and had a son.
Hezzy, you're a legend in your own time.
Think so, eh?
So they tell me. Fastest time in the 20-mile endurance race.
Huh? With a full pack.
And all those parachute jumps.
450. Many in combat.
And you think you should quit now?
Yes. I'm going to resign and go to university.
But you're obviously being groomed for political leadership.
I want to study business and make some money so our children can prosper.
Hezzy earned a degree in business administration, opened a business, and soon controlled a large part of the appliance market in Israel. Hezzy and his wife had two sons and a daughter, and he was a wealthy man, a chess master who represented Israel in international competition. A few sharp investments brought even more money. Then came some bad investments and the fatal attraction.
Well, Hezzy, you've been standing here for 5 minutes without saying a word.
The speed of the money changing hands is unbelievable.
Have you observed the wins and losses of the man in front of us?
Yes, I have. As nearly as I can tell, he gained some 40,000 francs just while we've been standing here. Is that possible?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I'd put the figure closer to 50,000.
Incredible. Do winnings like that happen often?
Certainly. A number of players in this room are winning at this very moment.
How did they do it?
Be realistic, though. At least as many players are losing.
That I understand. Do you suppose I have any talent for this sort of thing?
Talent is a factor. But most gamblers would agree that chance or luck is a bigger factor.
I can see that.
As to what you call talent, let's consider. You're a chess master.
Chess moves at a snail's pace. This is more like lightning.
Nevertheless, being successful as a chess player shows that you can think clearly and logically under pressure. You're also an expert bridge player, and this may be more to the point.
Why?
You're used to counting cards as a hand is played out. This can be very useful in games like blackjack.
Then I think I'll try my luck. But I need your help and advice as I learn.
Happy to oblige.
Here, take this money. It's not much, but perhaps you can make it grow while you're teaching me.
Gambling soon became an addiction to Hezzy. He thought he could beat the casinos and recoup the money he had lost in some unwise business ventures. He began to visit Las Vegas, Monte Carlo, and Atlantic City, where he stayed until he had lost the money he had brought with him. Then he returned to Israel to look after his business interests. Needless to say, his gambling took a toll on his family.
I'm going to bring up a very painful subject.
Gambling?
Yes. Have you any idea what you're doing to all of us, to me and the children?
The children are practically grown and on their own.
They still need you, and some help with their education.
You know I'm trying to recover my losses.
I believe you, but I also know that that's unlikely to happen. Even if it did, I think you'd go right on gambling. Gambling is like drugs to a drug addict.
Assuming you're right, what then?
That's the really painful subject. I'm talking about divorce.
After all these good years?
There have been some very good years, Hezzy, and I am grateful for them. But as I look ahead, I see nothing but bad years and growing worse.
Is divorce legally possible for us?
I have taken that question to Orthodox rabbis. They tell me that in view of your compulsive gambling, the answer is yes.
Are you saying you want a divorce now?
Not now. I love you. There is no one else in my life, Hezzy, and I don't intend there ever will be. But I don't want your addiction to destroy the family. I want you to sign an agreement that will let me get a divorce, even if you're out of the country on one of your gambling sprees. I'll know when the time has come.
I realize I'm in the wrong.
Will you sign the agreement?
If it will ease your mind. Yes.
The trips to America became more frequent. The losses grew. He would take $25,000 and a non-refundable return ticket home and fly to some remote city to gamble. Then, in 1987, Hezzy suffered a heart attack while he was back in Israel. They rushed him to the hospital in Jerusalem.
You could have died, Hezzy.
I'm glad I didn't.
The doctor said your heart stopped, but they were able to start it again.
I don't remember anything.
A few minutes later, it stopped again, but they managed to get it going. Then it stopped a third time.
Good thing I'm a fighter.
Then came the fourth and fifth times.
5 times my heart stopped?
Maybe God is trying to get your attention.
He did. I'm not ready to die. So, what about the future?
They said only 30% of your heart is functioning.
No wonder I feel so tired.
You'll have to slow down, Hezzy, and rest.
Certain that his days were numbered, Hezzy completely abandoned his family to pursue gambling. In October 1987, Hezzy flew to Atlantic City with his non-refundable airline ticket, planning to spend his days and his wealth as a high roller. He lost $250,000 in one day, bankrupt financially as well as in body and soul. The once proud man had lost everything. He sat on a bench, looking at the Atlantic Ocean, and decided to end his life. He would jump from the top floor of the tallest casino. Instead, he collapsed and ended up in the hospital.
These are your release papers. Do you have any place to go?
Yes, and no.
I don't understand.
I have a return ticket to Israel, but it's from New York. My problem is getting there from here. I wonder if you could provide me with a bus ticket to New York?
I'm sorry, but we have no funds for that.
Then I have no place to go.
What about the local rescue mission?
What is a rescue mission?
A place that gives meals and clothing and beds to people who have no place to go. They might find a way for you to get to New York.
How do I get to this rescue mission?
I'm afraid you'll have to walk. I'll write down the address for you.
Thank you.
Maybe I better write down some instructions for getting there, too.
Is this your ambulance?
I'm the driver.
Sir, I've just been released from the hospital. Could you give me a lift to this address? It's a rescue mission.
This is an ambulance, not a taxi. There's only a few blocks.
Which way do I go?
Come on, get in. I'll take you right to the mission door.
What is this mission we're going to?
Well, it's run by Christians to help people in trouble.
Christians? But I'm a Jew from Israel.
That makes no difference. After all, Jesus was a Jew.
Yes. Yeshua. His hometown is not far from the one where my mother was born.
This place takes in anybody. I hear there's an Arab working there now.
Well, I speak Arabic, too.
That's the place. Just go in, tell them you need help.
In a moment, we'll hear about that help. Unshackled is now broadcast around the world in 13 languages, translated by nationals and dramatized by their own people. In Europe, this includes 7 languages besides English. Here are some emails from listeners there. From Poland, this man writes, I listened to Unshackled on radio, the testimony of a drunkard who had totally ruined his life and that of his family, too. It was a picture of me. A light appeared in my life. It was Jesus. I am a changed man now. This man writes from England. Unshackled is a massive blessing to me. It shows God's dealing with us in mercy and even provides valuable tips on how to evangelize. An Albanian man writes, Though I have a handicap, I know through your program that God loves me just the way I am, and my heart is full of joy. A 10-year-old in Romania writes, Thank you for Unshackled, where I learn good things, like how to behave and avoid doing bad things. To learn more about this ministry or any of our other ministries, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
When Hezi walked into the Atlantic City Rescue Mission, the man on duty was an Arab, a Jordanian who had served in the Syrian army. These former soldiers who had once been enemies had much in common. Both men grew up in the Middle East, both spoke Arabic and Hebrew, and both were gamblers.
Yes, I used to gamble compulsively too.
You mean you quit?
Several years ago.
But temptation is all around you, wasn't it hard to stop?
With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Which God? I think I've lost faith in God.
You just don't know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus? I thought you were a Muslim.
I was. Like you, I came to this mission penniless, and they told me about the Savior.
The Savior. If only it were true.
It is true. Jesus said, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
But Jews don't believe in Jesus.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
How on earth did you come to believe that Jesus is the Savior?
God's grace, through believing God's word. But even the faith to believe comes from God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
Why doesn't the Hebrew Bible mention Jesus?
It does, but you must be born again to see it. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let me show you a verse from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 49, where God is speaking of the Messiah. "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth."
Do you think your Jesus, Yeshua, would help me?
I know he would.
There at the mission, the former Muslim led the Israeli Jew to simple faith in Christ. 2 days later, the mission called me because I too am a Jew who believes in Yeshua Jesus, and I was teaching at a Bible Institute in South Jersey. I was surprised to learn that an Israeli was in the homeless shelter, that he had professed faith in Christ, and that he had been a colonel in the Israeli Air Force. We happened to have a Messianic Israeli student, and we sent him to fetch Hezi, who was slim, stood straight, and spoke excellent English. He told me his story.
"Yes, my name Hezi is a form of Ezekiel."
"I thought so.
My situation is untenable, so I am at your service."
"The Hebrew man who brought you here has offered to let you stay with him while you recuperate."
Meno?
"Yes. He and his wife are living in missionary housing while he's in Bible school."
"I would like very much to join the Bible studies."
"I'm teaching on the book of Hebrews. You're welcome to sit in on the lectures."
"Meno told me they have a one-year-old daughter, the same age as my grandson."
"Oh, you have a grandson?"
"Yes. My oldest son is a cardiologist who trained in this country. I haven't seen them for a long time. I haven't spent much time with my youngest son either."
"Well, the Lord can bring reconciliation."
"Yes. Now I know God had a purpose in letting me survive the heart attack."
"And your wife?"
"I love my wife so much. There has never been another woman in my life. She is a wonderful mother to our children. But she may have divorced me by now, and I cannot blame her. I've hurt her deeply."
From that first meeting, I developed a special affection for Hezi. Living with an Israeli family and speaking his native language was good for him. He also sat in on the Bible studies, soaking up God's truth.
"You know, when I commanded the 101st Commandos, I often used the Tenach in lecturing my officers."
"In what way?"
"The Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, tells of battles fought on the same ground we had to defend. So there are valid tactical lessons to be learned from those accounts. More than once, we relied on the experiences of those ancient Israelites to guide us. Another thing, the Old Testament speaks again and again of Jesus, the Messiah."
"That's true, but how do you know?"
"The evidence is clear that Jesus himself is the Lord God."
"Jesus, or Yeshua, is a Greek transliteration of the more ancient form Joshua."
"And Joshua is an abbreviation of two words, which in the original Hebrew mean Yeshua saves, or Jesus saves. The name identifies him as Jehovah the Savior. That's why the angel instructed Mary to name the child Jesus and said, 'For he shall save his people.'"
"You're right, Hezi. I should let you lecture the class."
"I find passages in the Old Testament that clearly refer to the coming Messiah, where the Hebrew word is Jehovah."
"That's true. And in my Bible, each time the word Jehovah is translated as Lord in English, it's printed with a large capital L followed by O-R-D in small letters. When the Hebrew word Adonai is translated as Lord, it is printed with a capital L followed by 3 small letters. At least one Jewish Bible in English does the same."
"I love Isaiah chapter 48, where all 3 persons of the Godhead are proclaimed. God says, 'I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go.
Amen!
I am altogether satisfied that Jesus of Nazareth is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was God with us, and he is Messiah.
Let me add something here, Hesse. God is not finished with the children of Israel. The promises he made are not dependent on the obedience of Israel as a nation, but on the sovereign grace of God. He will fulfill those promises when the Lord returns.
I want to be ready when he returns. I want to serve the one who stooped so low to save a sinner like me.
Truly a Levite, Hesse soaked in everything, attending the evening as well as the daytime classes. His strength slowly returned, and he began taking brisk walks around the campus to exercise his heart. During every spare moment, he read, devouring 6 or 8 books a week, scholarly books on theology, the Talmud, and Jewish commentators. Then he made a decision that I thought was risky.
I'm going back to Atlantic City.
Excuse the pun, but isn't that a gamble?
Not at all. I want to visit my Arab brother who led me to Christ. If he can resist temptation, so can I.
Well, I'm glad you feel up to making the trip.
Perhaps I can be useful there, now that I am well again.
Don't forget, you're only operating on 30% of your heart.
Trust me, I can't forget.
Stay away from the casinos, Hazy.
The Towers of Satan? They hold nothing for me.
So, Brother Hesse, you have grown much in the faith.
Not nearly enough. He must increase, but I must decrease.
That is true discipleship.
We've worked so hard at changing ourselves and the world around us when all we need is to be one with the Savior, to stay in the light as he is in the light.
No wonder Jesus prayed, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
I can't get enough of God's word.
Now you know why he said ye must be born again.
It's the only way. Yeshua Jesus is the chief cornerstone of Scripture. I wish my people were not so blind.
Or mine. The Bible says that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
I have to tell my people. I have to let them know the truth.
Hesse worked in the mission warehouse, arranging and distributing clothing that was donated by caring Christians. One night, he decided to face temptation head-on and walked into a casino. He told me about it when he returned to our mission in South Jersey.
Yes, I walked right in.
That was definitely a gamble.
I had to know if I was truly free of temptation.
And were you?
An old friend was there at one of the tables. He had considerable winnings, and he pushed $10,000 worth of chips over to me.
What did you do?
I pushed them back and told him I had found something infinitely better.
Amen.
I want to resume my studies here and help out in the shipping department.
Great. They can always use help. Hesse worked several hours a day, and his forceful personality alienated some of the staff, but he was often right in his observations. One day he came to me visibly shaken because he'd learned from a distant relative that his wife had divorced him to marry someone else. His hopes for a reconciliation were dashed. Within a few days, however, his faith surged again.
I think I'll go to a mission in North Carolina.
It's a wonderful opportunity for you.
Yes. As the Lord leads, I want to write to help my Jewish people recognize their Messiah in Jesus.
God has revealed his truth to you in a remarkable way.
I can also teach Old Testament scripture to the missionaries there.
Hesse moved to the mission family in North Carolina. There, he studied and wrote and taught Old Testament scripture. He also found friends among the Cherokee Indians whose reservation surrounds the mission property. Early in 1990, Hesse drove from North Carolina to New Jersey to visit. We talked mostly of Israel and the part he could play in the ministry there.
I've come to say goodbye. I'm going back to Israel in a few weeks.
Have you decided where to locate?
In Haifa. I'll headquarter high atop Mount Carmel.
Well, that's where Elijah confronted the 450 prophets of Baal.
A good place to do battle for the Lord.
The battle is not yours, but God's.
Good thing, Marv, because I don't know if I'll make it. My heart is growing weaker.
The Lord is your strength, Hesse.
Yes, but it's not the angina now. It's heart failure. I can't tell the difference. If I don't make it, I'd like to be buried at the little Cherokee church down there.
On the Sunday morning, the missionaries came to take Hezzy to church. They found him lying on the floor, dressed and ready to go. On the bed was his Bible, open to the book of Joshua, Israel's greatest general. Hezzy's daughter flew in from Israel, and his eldest son came from Connecticut to attend the funeral. They decided to bury Hezzy on a hill in the Indian reservation, next to the little church he had learned to love.
Why is Beno's name among my father's possessions?
Your father stayed with him after he was released from the hospital. Beno helped him recuperate.
I went all through school with Beno. He was one of my best friends.
No, God's ways are so awesome. Past finding out.
I wish my father had returned to Israel.
If your mother hadn't remarried, he would have returned sooner.
She didn't remarry. She divorced him, but she didn't remarry.
Oh, I wish Hezzy had known that.
On the telephone, some time ago, my father told me he had at last found the way to God. Can you tell me the way he found?
Sometime later, a friend of mine brought Hezzy's daughter and son-in-law to America to study the Bible. While living and studying in North Carolina, Hezzy's daughter professed faith in our Messiah. Hezzy's faith is still bearing fruit.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Listening friend, do you have a relationship with the one who created the universe, the same one who gave his son for you? You're missing the whole purpose of life if you don't know the Savior. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You can have abundant life now by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no special words because God sees your heart. Repent of your sins. Ask His forgiveness for your sin. Ask Him to save you. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. A listener emailed us, "I love your radio show. We hope you let the manager of this radio station know what these dramas mean to you. Call or write to say thanks for broadcasting Unshackled." This is program number 3196. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled overflowing. We hope you take a moment to let us know you listen. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.